We're starting the spring 2018 semester of the Midrasha, and what we're going to do today is, on a certain level, the last shiur for Parshat Toldot, while at the same time the first shiur for Parshat Vayetzi, and I think actually in a beautiful way bridges the two and bridges last semester to this semester and what we've divided as kind of the first half of Sefer Bereishit, dealing with the development of the Avot, and the second half of Sefer Bereishit, when we start to move into a discussion of Yaakov as the father of the 12 Shvatim and the development of Bnei Yisrael. In order to do that, which is the beginning of the parsha that we're going to fully, completely enter on Monday, Parshat Vayetze, Yaakov is Vayetze, he leaves, he's going out to Haran. Why does Yaakov go to Haran? David and Jessica both say Esav is going to kill him, which is totally legitimate. If you take a look in your Chumashim, if you have them already, if not, I now have faith that you all will have them on Monday. If not, share with a friend, share with somebody next to you. Hopefully, even if you don't know them and they're new, they'll be nice enough to share with you. Presuming that we have more than two Chumashim in the room. If you look in Parsha Toldot, Perek Chavzayin, Pasuk Membet. After Yaakov successfully acquires the brachot, and Esav finds out what happened, and Esav, move back one Pasuk to Pasuk Mem Aleph, Perek Chaf Zayin, Pasuk Mem Aleph, 2741. Vayistom Esav et Yaakov al habracha asher bechor aviv. Esav harbored hatred towards Yaakov for the brachas that he got from Yaakov. Vayomer Esav libo, Esav said in his heart, Yikrevu yimei evel avi, my father will eventually die, ve'aharga et Yaakov achi, and then I will kill Yaakov for what he took from me. Vayugadlu Rivka tivrei Esav b'naha gadol, these words were given over to Rivka, which we assume the Mefarshim point out was through Nevuah. Why did the Mefarshim assume that it had to have been through Nevuah? Right. Who would have told her? Because the last pasuk said, he said in his heart, right? There was a thought balloon that was coming up from his head. Or, if you're a comic book person, you know that around 20 years ago they switched from thought balloons to thought boxes. There's a little thought box over his head, right? But he didn't actually say it to anybody. So how would anybody know? So the presumption is that b'nevuah, Rivka heard that he was out to kill Yaakov. And so Rivka says, "Vayugad Rivka divrei Esav bina hagadol, vatishlach vatikra li Yaakov binan." She sent out for Yaakov bina katan. Vatomer elav, she said to him, "Hinei Esav achicha mitnachim lecha l'argecha." He's waiting to kill you. V'atav v'nishma v'koli v'kum birach lecha elavan achicha rana. Run away to Lavan in Haran. And stay there until the anger of your brother subsides. Go there until his anger dies down and he forgets what you did and he gets some perspective on it. And why should I lose two children in the same day? So again, why did Yaakov leave? Why did Yaakov leave?
Here.
To run away from Esav. He had to get away from Esav. Yeah, Lauren? Right, but I mean, Esav's own words to himself were, it's coming close to my father's end. Regardless of whether or not he did actually die soon or not, you don't want to gamble on that. Sure. Right? Family funerals are complicated affairs without one of the children trying to kill the other child during the burial. Right? So like, she says, you know what? Get some space. Run away. You're in trouble. You're in danger. You need to leave. I'll ask the question again. Why does Yaakov go to Galut? Why does he go to Haran? Good. And it's Parsha Yitro this week, and Kikit Kaveda B'Kavadimach is an important mitzvah. It's one of these are Dibro. Yes. Bigger picture. Why does he go to Haran?
Love.
You definitely don't want to go where Lavan is. He didn't go there. He wasn't going for Lavan. Oh, so says Devita, he's going to start a family. He's going to find a wife. Little does he know he's going to end up with a boar. He's going to get to find a wife and to have kids. Little does he know he's going to end up with 12. Right? In all of the previous generations, there were only two. He gets 12 from four wives. He's going to have a whole Maisa in the next parsha that we have to figure out and understand what's going on there. But he's going to find a shidduch and build a family. Now, I would say to Devita, how do you know that's why he's leaving? And Devita will confidently say back to me, because, Rabbi, I know how to read Chumash, and I read ahead of what you just quoted. And I would say, Devita, you're totally right. So let's look at the quote that Devita just quoted. Okay? Pasuk Mem Vav. Continue forward. Literally the next pasuk. Vatomer Rivka Yitzchak. Rivka says to Yitzchak, Katsi Bechayai. I'm disgusted with my life, says Rabbi Arsprol. Mipnei benot chet, because of the children of chet. Im lokeach Yaakov isham benot chet ka'ilef. If Yaakov takes a wife from these chetite people like Esav did, lama lichaim, why am I even bothering to live? Therefore, vayikra Yitzchak Yaakov, Yisakos Yaakov, vayivarech oto, and he gives him another bracha, v'yitzaveihu, and he commands him and says, vayomer lo, lo tikach isham benot Kanaan, don't take a wife from Kanaan. Kum lech Padana Aram. Go to Padana Aram. Beita Bituel Avi. To the house of Bituel, my father-in-law. Bituel Avi Imecha. The wife of the father of your mother, meaning my father-in-law. Vikacha Misham Misham Ibnot Lavan. And go and take from there a wife from the daughters of Lavan, Achi Imecha. So we have a problem. David, I think you answered it the first time also. You also said running away from Esav. So you have Machloket Davida Davida. Right? So it's fine. We'll give your first one to Jessica. She said it also. With Machloket Jessica and Davida. Jessica says that the reason why he left was to run away from. I'm looking at this side of the room. Good getting you guys used to speaking. So far, your learning is cut on. Thank you. Learn. She's her first Master Midrash. Learn from Abby. He's running away from Esav. But on the other hand, the Pesukim also explicitly state that he is going out to start a family.
So why is that a contradiction?
Well, which one is it? What is we want to understand, what is Yaakov's motivation? Why is Yaakov leaving Eretz Yisrael? Why
is it one stone?
What?
Kill two birds with one stone.
Or the way we often frame it in Midrash is that the answer is both. The question is, what is the meaning of the fact that the answer is both? If we're going to be working under a paradigm of Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim, of everything that the forefathers went through, are setting the stage for us, it means that for everything that happens to us in life and everything that we go to in life, for every galut that we experience, because this is the first time that we have one of the Avot going into galut, with the exception of Abraham's short journey to Mitzrayim at the beginning of Lech Lecha. But this is really the story of Yisrael Saba, of he who will become Yisrael, whose name becomes Yisrael, who will be the forefather of literally Klal Yisrael, going into Galut, and going to teach us what it means to go out into Galut. Setting the stage for what does it mean to go out into Galut? Why do we go into Galut? The answer that you guys gave first is the answer that we most often link into. Something went wrong. There's a problem. I'm either being thrown out or I'm running away. That's why there is galut. That's why Yaakov leaves. That's why we experience exile. On the flip side, though, we have this whole other floor, this whole other layer. The answer is both. There's a whole other layer, which is that he's going out to build a family. He's going to Haran, specifically to the house of Lavan, to get married, to have children, to start a family, to start Klal Yisrael. The answer is both. Which means that there are two ways that we can examine something like going out into Galut, personally, nationally, or any difficulty in life. two words that my Rebbe focuses on. What words, English words, might you tag on to those? The concept of running away from Esav or being thrown out of Eretz Yisrael because of Esav versus going to build a family. I wouldn't say that necessarily. That was the choice within Esav, yeah.
I would say like environmental and like personal maybe. Like one is like affecting you and the other one you're affecting.
Good. We're going to use different terms for that. Well, basically, you're saying the same thing. They're English terms, so it doesn't really matter, yeah?
Me?
Yeah.
I would say, like, passive versus active.
That I relate to a little bit less. A little bit less. No, it could be very real floors of it. There were the two, yeah.
Maybe, like, a reaction versus, I don't know what the other word is, but, like...
So the words that I use are reason versus purpose. Which is sort of a reframing of what you said, but not necessarily what you said, but probably what you were trying to say.
Yeah.
Reason versus purpose. The reason why, looking back, the reason why Yaakov leaves Eretz Yisrael is because Esav is going to kill him. Esav drives him out of Eretz Yisrael. But there's a whole nother floor to Galut, meaning what is the purpose? What am I meant to be accomplishing? And that's an incredibly important point to internalize. When we think about, let's first talk nationally. When we think about the concept of exile, and last semester we spoke extensively about the process of the Dalet Galuyot, the four stages of exile that Klal Yisrael go through, Bavel, Pras Umadai, Yavan, and Edom. When we think about exile, when we think about Galut, we so often only link into the concept of reason. Why was the first Beis HaMikdash destroyed? The big three, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shefichat Damim. Why was the second Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Sinas Chinam. We all know those reasons because we all went to Tisha B'Av in camp and they all beat us over the head with it extensively and we didn't learn anything in day school, right? So that's why we know the two reasons for the judgment of the Beis HaMikdash. And those are 100% true. But it gives a paradigm of Galus that is only focused on reason. And reasons are important. Because if we're ever going to get to Bayit Shlishi, we're going to need to fix the issue of Bayit Sheni, which was, you said it a minute ago, Sinas Chinam. And oddly enough, as we go and investigate the process of Yaakov and his children, a big theme that's going to come up is overcoming Sinas Chinam. As we make our way towards, march towards the end of Sefer Bereishit, the end of the Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim is going to need to be the Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim for the final Geula as well. So part of the conclusion of Sefer Bereishit is going to be resolving issues of Sinas Chinam. You'll see that play in again and again over the course of the semester. So looking at, understanding, internalizing reasons is very important. But there is another floor and probably a more important floor, and a floor that often gets entirely overlooked. And that's the floor of purpose. That it's not just that we go into exile because we did something wrong. But if a Kadosh Baruch Hu, especially based on our paradigms from last semester, that there are four stages of exile, that they were intentionally determined in a specific order from the beginning of creation, specifically with this nation, in this way, with this culture, then we're meant to go out into that galut to accomplish something very specific. We're meant to accomplish in the context of galut, to build in the context of galut. Yaakov Avinu finds his wives in galut, produces the majority of the shvatim in galut. There was a distinct and important direction and purpose that was meant to be accomplished and for some reason seemingly could only have been accomplished in the context of Galut. Reason and purpose. We need to examine both. Reasons will help us do tshuva. They'll get us back to par, but purpose allows us to take things further, to literally accomplish where we need to get to in Galut that will pave the road back to Geula. And we need to always be thinking about reasons and purpose. And that translates personally as well. When we talk about in the Mitra Shah, we're going to be talking about, this is honestly, in contrast, a much smaller shir and a much smaller concept than things we're going to normally be tackling in the Mitra Shah. But when you take a bigger concept, you've got to be able to personalize it, or else it needs to be al derech ha'avoda as well. It has to be al halacha lemaisa as well. It has to be personally relevant as well. The same thing is true for every single one of us. Yaakov Avinu is leaving and he's going into exile. He's going into exile, we'll talk about this more as we go forward, at night. Because night is always comparable to exile. The first thing he does is he goes and he finds a place to sleep because he walks out right into the nighttime. Every single one of us has moments in our life where we have personal realities of exile and personal moments of metaphorical darkness. And we react the same way that we think about national exile. When something bad happens to me, the first thing I think is, what's the reason? Why me? Or what did I do to deserve this? Now you could be saying that trying to distance yourself from it. I'm perfect. What did I do to deserve this? Or you could be saying it from a more emistic place of, what did I do? What did I do to bring this about? What did I do wrong? How did I mess up? What got me to this place? And we tend to obsessively think about what's wrong with me that this happened. I'm not negating the importance of that, because there is no way to do tshuva and to grow from the reasons side without doing the deep hit bonenut contemplation to reflect on what went wrong and to fix that damage and to make sure that it doesn't happen again. But it could be that either there was no reason, and according to some of Farshim, there was no reason why Yaakov had to leave. According to some of Farshim, no. Because of the interaction that he had with Esav, he did deserve Galut, and he was actually being exiled for something he did wrong. Whether you want to look at him as having done something wrong or not, there's no doubt that if Yaakov Avinu had gone out of Eretz Yisrael, simply left the border, found some place to pitch his tent, and sat there and put his feet, put his legs in, you know, in a meditative position, and sat there contemplating for 20 years, what did I do wrong and how do I be a better person, then he would have come back to Eretz Yisrael 20 years later lacking what? And therefore lacking Klal Yisrael. There wouldn't be a Klal Yisrael. Reason and purpose. If I'm going out, there's something here that I uniquely need to accomplish out here. If something happens to me, we each need to say to ourselves, it could be that I did something wrong, or it could not be that I did something wrong. I want to figure that out, because if I did something wrong, I want to fix it, and I want to make sure not to do it again. True. But also, maybe I'm being a Kaddish Baruch Hu just sitting here because there's something that I need to accomplish specifically from this state of internal exile. Things about myself that I need to discover. Things that I need to actually physically accomplish in this unique space. Things that I need to do in order to fix myself and fix the world that I can only do from this reality of exile. From this reality of galut. And that has to be a part of the way that we think about things. Not just to look back at the past. Not just to come down on ourselves. To think about, why am I going out? What am I meant to accomplish? Because being in difficult situations oftentimes gives us opportunities for growth that we could never have achieved had we not been in a state of difficulty. Who is the paradigm of a person who lived by this philosophy in Chumash? In Chumash? That automatically corrects, we're talking about Yaakov. So yes. Thinking a little farther away, Yosef. Think about Yosef. Yosef has a dream. All of my brothers are going to bow down to me. And somehow I'm going to be some type of ruler over them. And I'm going to tell my brothers this. And they're going to be so happy for me. And they're going to help me grow up a little bit more. And then they're all going to seat me on that seat. And they're all going to bow down to me as I go and lead them into the future. And then Yaakov says, they've wandered. Go find them out there in the fields. And he wanders to go find them in the fields to bring them back to help see out this beautiful vision and see it happen. And when he arrives, his brothers greet him with a smile, grab him by the coat, and throw him into a pit. Right? Can you imagine? The exact opposite of everything that he literally dreamed. They throw him in the pit to leave him to die. The only reason he doesn't die is because Yehuda says, hey, let's make a buck. So then they sell him to be a slave in Egypt. There's no coming back from that. There's no coming back from that. It's game over. And so when Yosef ends up in the house of Potiphar, he finds his corner, he sulks, he thinks, what did I do wrong? And he just sits there for the next X number of years, and he just is a depressed kind of guy. Going about his business, trying to do some stuff for Potiphar, right? I want a louder no. No, that's not what happens. Please, God, tell me you guys don't basically call me, right? No, that's not what happens. He says, okay, I'm here, I got a job, let's make it happen. And because the Kadosh Baruch Hu put him there for a reason, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is with him, what happens?
He rises to prominence
in the house of Potiphar. Very beautifully said. He rises to prominence in the house of Potiphar. So much so that Potiphar goes and he says, listen, I know I give this example of the Winter Meter Shop. I apologize for some repetition, Cheney, from the Winter Meter Shop. Right? He takes all of his stuff. I don't want to freak any of you guys out. He even takes his iPhone and says to Yosef, you're going to be on Yosef. He says, Yosef, everything that's mine is yours. You're in charge. You respond to my WhatsApps. You respond to my Facebook messages. You respond to my phone calls. You take care of my money. You've got access to my Chase account in there. You really do. Just don't open that up. You have access to my Chase. There's not much money in that number, have I? There, you have access to my Chase account, right? You have access to everything in there, right? You take everything. Just one thing you can't touch, Yosef. Can't touch my wife. So inevitably what happens? Asher Potiphar's like, Yosef, I gotta have Yosef. Right? And so Asher Potiphar goes and all she wants to do is get to Yosef. And Yosef fights her off day in and day out. I feel the same way about Lauren. Fights off Yosef day in and day out. Potiphar day in and day out. But Lauren's really wonderful. She's great. She's becoming great. Right? Fights off Asher Potiphar day in and day out. And eventually, he fights so hard that Potiphar has left no choice but to save face by throwing Yosef into jail to show that he believes his wife, even though he probably really doesn't believe his wife. Now that Yosef gets to jail, Potiphar gets his PD back, right? Yosef goes to jail, and of course now there's no reason for hope. Now he really goes to a corner, sulks, and just is depressed for the next few years, right?
No!
Thank you. She's great. No, what happens to him next? He's like, okay, I'm in jail. Let's make jail an awesome place. Who does that? Right? Let's make jail an awesome place. And then he goes and he takes care of all this jail, and the jailkeeper's like, you know what? Here are the keys. You feed the meals. You take care of everything. You take care of everyone. Here are the keys. Do me a favor. Please don't let yourself out. And you take care of the jail. I'll be back soon. Somebody once pointed this out to me before. Like, you gotta understand. I love Yosef. You gotta understand Yosef. Do you understand how the next step, the next stage of the Yosef story happens? He's sitting in jail in Egypt. There is no media. There's no media coverage of, you know, so and so was wrongfully thrown into prison, and we're still fighting to get him out. There were no protests, because if you protested, they just beheaded you. There was nothing to do. You were done. And him walking around a jail where you don't get saved from, he walks up on him. He's like, not my baker, my butler, and he's like. You guys sit down today. What's wrong? And you want to answer, we're in jail. Of course everything is wrong. There's no hope. But Yosef is able to see that slight difference between complete hopelessness and utter hopelessness. To the point where he goes, what's wrong? That's Yosef. He's accomplishing something in jail in Egypt. And he interprets their dreams, and they eventually get out, and then they go to Paro, and then Paro draws him up, and Paro says to him, listen, I heard that you understand dreams. To which Yosef then finally promptly replies, you found your guy. I am very happy to translate your dreams. I am the king of dream interpreting, and I really would love a place in your court.
No!
No, it's not what he says. He goes, listen, I can interpret dreams. I have emuna. God's in charge. If God interprets it, I'm happy to share it with you. If not, not. You can find me in that really dark hole over there. Right? That's it. And in fact, he does translate the dream with pure emuna, does not ask for anything in return, becomes second to the king. Then, wouldn't you know it, there's a famine in the land. The brothers have no choice but to go down to Egypt, and they have no choice but to bow down to the viceroy of Egypt, who happens to be
Yosef.
Think of a story like that. We're so used to hearing that story that we become desensitized to it. The story is incredible. Every time we read it in Chumash, in the Seder of the Parshat every year, see it with the eyes of a child. You ever read a book with a kid before? Has anybody here ever read a book with a kid before? You ever read a book with a kid before for the 100th time? And said they're like, can we keep going, Abba? Can we keep going? And you're like, you know how this ends. We did it 5 minutes ago. Right? There's that sense of that a child has when they read. That's how we need to come to Chumash. With that sense of awe. This is the story of Yosef, and I was exaggerating it, but that's what's happening in the text. That's what's happening in the text. Because Yosef was an individual who understood. There might be reasons why I went down, and honestly, Yosef, you were in the Midrash Mishra, how is Yosef described? How is Yosef described in the very beginning of his story? As a Na'ar. He was still a youth. He still had a lot to learn. And it seems pretty clear that whatever it is that he had to learn, he did learn over the course of this process. Reasons. There were reasons probably why he had to go to Galut, and there are things that he did learn. But he also was totally focused on?
Purpose.
That was really beautiful and ashavically correct, but the word I'm looking for is?
Purpose.
He was focused on the purpose. And because he was focused on the purpose and accomplishing an exile, he then builds an empire that sustains his family through 7 years of famine, sets up the Jews for the next stage of history in Galut Mitzrayim to be redeemed and get to Matan Torah, and then eventually to Eretz Yisrael. It's an incredible thing to think about. We'll wrap up now, because I see that we're out of time. Yeah. Yosef is the paradigm example of that. But we see that in the first experience of exile as well. We need to look at the reasons, but we also need to look at the purpose. We need to look at the national reasons for going into every galut that we're in, including the galut that we're in right now. But we also need to look for the purpose of what we're meant to accomplish in the context of this galut. And every single one of our personal lives, when we go into moments of galut or darkness, we need to ask, what brought us here? What's the reason? But we can't ignore the fact that we have to contemplate and come to terms with, what am I meant to accomplish from this place of darkness? I think it acts as a nice bridge because it does really pull together the last piece of Parshat Toldot, but also sets the stage. Because for the next many sessions of the Midrasha, we're going to start talking about who is Yaakov and what is he going out to Galut to accomplish. What was only Yaakov able to accomplish by coming to Makom HaMikdash and having the dream that he has? What was only Yaakov able to accomplish by going to Beit Lavan and by having the children in Beit Lavan? What is Yaakov accomplishing through his entire experience of Galut? Because that's where Klal Yisrael is going to be born from. So with that bridge, on Monday, Bezrat Hashem, we will jump right into the deep, beautiful, gorgeous complexities of the character of Yaakov, of his dream, and of where it sets the tone for how he's going to take us forward through Sefer Bereishit.